Hop K on the day is 9 lines from the bottom. Line begins.
Hop K on the day from the bottom.
Yeah, line begins with Va, a rolling Omer of Zeta. Omer of Zeta. Omer of Zeta, Omer Rebbe. Or Omer of Yechanan, I go to back changes it too. A Sodom Ozen Hapar. Suppose you have an animal, which of course had no mum. You shechted it as a carbon. Then you made a notch in one of its ears, which is a notch. You made a notch in one of its ears, which of course, had it still been alive, would make it a balmum. And then you did the Kabbalah Fadam. Possible, then the carbon is possible. Shenema, because the positive is v'lokach midam ha'par. The positive is you should take from the blood of the par or any other animal, implying par shahoyah kvar, implying it has to be the same par, the same animal that it was before. So it has to be just as complete at the time of Kabbalah as it was at the time of Shechita. It couldn't be a Baal Mum at the time of Shechita. It can't be a Baal Mum at the time of Kabbalah.
Because
then it won't be the same power, in other words. Yeah. No, it still is a power. It's not the same power.
It's not really a power that's focused on this era.
Well, the point is it's not the same power. I mean, it's not really, I mean, the acronym talk about it. It's not really a matter, it's not really a Mum per se. I mean, you could argue the Shechita itself constitutes a Mum. But it means, in other words, it has to be in the, other than that, it has to be in the same status. The Shechita itself, on the other hand, they argue, okay, the Shechita is a necessity in order to make it a carbon, so therefore that can't be considered a mum. This notching of the ear is...
Why do we know that the
Shechita
has to be done in such a way? How do we know?
What do you mean, the Shechita has to be done? What do you mean? In general, how we know the halakha of Shechita? Most of them are halakha of Shechita. Yeah, that's the famous thing that says in the Pasuk. There's a vasa kashes to be so you should check as I commanded you, and you don't have as I commanded you anywhere in the Torah. There's no details of it, so it means it serves well by it. Okay. Fine. Ashkechan kodshe kodshe. The Gemara says, fine, in that case, then you find that pasuk, v'lokach midal ha'par, it's talking about a chasas, which is kodshe kodshim, kodshim kalim minolam. Where do we know the same din applies to kodshim kalim, that if you were to knock the ear or otherwise create a mum in it after the shechta before the Kabbalah? What? Fine. Well, when if we needed to, but we would rather find the more explicit source. The answer is Amar Rabba Tanya, because like this, we learn about
more explicit source.
If we can find one, I mean, I guess if we have to, we have to. But Gemara is looking for a different one. Tosfos asked a different question anyway. We learned on Amar Aleph yesterday. We talked about a case. We said that you have to get dafted with gamma nefesh, not the blood from the skin, etc. There it was also a pasuk. Gamma kar was from kodesh kodesh, not kodesh kalim. Why didn't Gemara ask the same question there? The answer is once we figure it out over here, how we know that it applies to kodesh kalim as well, then it'll apply across the board. All the other details that we learned from lachak gamma kar are also going to apply across the board. So Gemara chose to ask the question over here, but it could have equally well asked it by the other one. Fine. So Amar Rava, Tanya, it's like this. We learn in a Braita. The Pasuk says about the Korban Pesach, Seth Tomim, it should be a hole without a mum, a sheep, Zachar Ben Shana, a male within its first year, meaning Sheyehei Tomim or Ben Shana B'Sas Shechita, which means at the time of Shechita, it has to fit all those criteria. It has to be Tomim and it has to be still under a year old, when it's shechted, which we know that because the pasuk continues tachosu alaseh, and tachosu, as we learned the other day, means it has a double meaning to register for the korban pesach, but it also means to shecht it. So at the time of shechita, therefore, it still has to be. It means also to shecht. The primary meaning of it in context in the pasuk means to register. You register for the korban pesach so that you can eat from it. But it also has the meaning of shechita. The Aramaic word for shechting is chos, and therefore to chos means to shech. So the Pasuk is making it clear, therefore, that it has to still be tomim and still ben shana at the time when it's shechted. Next, the Kabbalah b'halacha b'zrika minayin continues the Braita, where we know the same rules apply, that it has to still be tomim at the time of Kabbalah and halacha and zrika. How do we know? Tomim b'ma yia, therefore the Pasuk says yia, it shall be, which means kol habayosav lo yu elatamim uben shana, which means as everything that's done, everything that makes it be a korban, all the things that are necessary in order for it to be a kosher korban, have to take place when it's still tum and when it's ben shana. So that's where we see that it has to be still tumim. So therefore, we see that it applies to kodesh kalim as well. However, Eisvei Abaya asks on him, but we learn another brayta. Any korban in the that the Torah tells us about, if let's say most of the meat or most of the chaylev got lost or otherwise became unavailable, but you have at least a kezayis of meat or a kezayis of fat left, zoras of adam, and you still sprinkle the blood on the korban, it's still kosher. So you see, you don't have to have the whole thing intact at the time, even though most of it is gone, it's still kosher. Then says, you're right. Haguma abem shah. You're right. You have to say. Therefore, so you have to explain that your brayta that says kol hava yosef is not talking about that it has to be a tamim at the time of shchita and the time of zrika and so forth. It's only referring to the last detail that we mentioned that it has to be ben shana. That it's not enough for it to be ben shana at the time of shchita. It also has to be ben shana at the time of zrika. So you don't have it. We're going to see in a second. But the point is, Abaya says to Rava, you can't learn that the concept of Tomim applies between Shchita and Kabbalah and Zrika and so forth, because we just said that when it comes to Zrika, even if there's only a Kezayis left, you still sprinkle it. So you have to say, therefore, that all it is once the Torah told us it applies to Kodshim Kodshim, then we, Hoyle Gali Gali. Once the Torah informed us that this concept applies to Kodshim Kodshim, then automatically it applies to Kodshim Kalam as well, unless we have reason to think otherwise. So maybe it's because of the Hekish of the Torah, or maybe it's just in general because once the Torah told us about one Korban, then we make a mammoth sinner commit to the other ones. Okay. So the question is, as you just asked, immediately, b'shat shkita ben shana, b'shat halacha zuka ben shtayim, how is it possible that it could be within a year old at the time of shkita and then be over a year old by the time of halacha and zuka? They take place one after the other. The answer is, Omar Rava, the Rava says, zoi se merit. You see from this, shoyis poislois b'kodshim. You see from this that when it comes to kodshim, extra hours make the korban possible. In other words, if you have, for example, if you have a lamb that was born, let's say, 1 year on Erev Pesach, 9 hours into the day, so 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the next year you bring it as a korban Pesach, and you have it shechted before 3 o'clock, but then by the time they get to the halacha and the zrika and so forth, it's after three, or according to the Rambam after four, you have an hour leeway, whatever, then the korban is possible. So that's what we mean, shoyis poislois b'kodshim, that it's not just that it has to be a year to the day, it also has to be a year, not a year to the hour. And the Gemara mentions in Nidya, there's another example in this week's parasha, you also have the matter of Bote Ori Choyma, when you say over there that you have a year to buy back the house, then also it's like this. So the Gemara explains over there because you have when in connection with Kodshim and in connection with the houses, and there's a couple of other cases also Tosfos discusses in a few places in Erchin and in Midya over there, and then discusses the question how broadly does this concept apply? Does it apply to other dinim as well? But whatever, the point is, by these kinds of things, the Torah says, the Torah mentions, for example, in the case of the korban, it says a loshen that implies that it's his age, so therefore that, in other words, it's not just by day but by hour. In the case of the Bote Ori Choyma, it uses the expression min kol roi issel. So therefore, from that kind of loshen, we learn that it means that there's more than just from day to day. It means from hour to hour as well.
And we could extend it to the brit then.
No, so we don't, because by the brit it doesn't say something, but just says Vayim Hashmini. It says on the 8th day. So for most dinim in the Torah, we don't do this, but we do it by Kodshim. We do it by Kodshim. We do it by Bote Ori Choyma. And Tosfos discusses, are there any other dinim? Because of the specific lashon that it says on it. Here's another deed. He besnim v'ragle abachol. Suppose most of the animal is inside the azara, where it's supposed to be, but its legs are sticking out outside of the azara. So it depends. Chosach, if you cut off the legs, v'achakach shochat, and then you shechted the animal, shera. Now, the obvious question is how that could be. Once you cut off the legs, it'll be about more. So hold on. The Gemara is going to ask that. But on the face of it, what he's saying is, if you cut off the legs and then you shechted it, then it's kosher. Because the problem, what would be the problem with the legs being outside? The problem would be that you have the blood that was outside is possible, because it's outside the azara. It gets mixed in with the blood and the mizrak when you shech the animal, and then the blood comes pouring out. Then that blood that was in the legs is also circulating, and it ends up getting mixed into it. And therefore you have...
outside the mizrak.
No. Well, so therefore, some of that blood was outside the Azara at the time of Shechita and was possible, and now it's getting mixed in with the other blood. So now how are you able to cut off the legs before you shecht it? The Gemara is going to ask that it's going to make it a Baal Mum, but we'll get back to that point. But we're focusing on the point that they're focusing on the question of whether the blood becomes possible. Shachat, ahat, achosah, on the other hand, if you shecht the animal first and then you cut off the leg, tullah, then it's possible because, again, as we just said, because then the blood from the outside gets mixed in with the blood that's there, with the blood that's inside. So the question is, what do you mean if you cut off the leg first and then you shechted the animal and it's kosher baal mum kamakru? Then you have a different problem. You're offering a baal mum. No. Ela eimer, no. You have to change the wording as follows. No, if you cut off the leg and then you did the kabbalah, then it's kosher because it's kibbol v'achakach chosach tzula. But if you did the kabbalah and then you cut off the leg, then it would be kosher. The question is, what do you mean? If you cut off the leg first, then you do the Kabbalah, then you're good, because now the blood from that leg is not getting mixed in when you're doing the Kabbalah. Hmm. Okay, so they talk about still the fact of the matter is at the time of Shechita, it circulated over there. There's a number of different answers, one of them being that maybe at the time of Shechita, it's not yet the time when it's possible. That's the point. You did it after the Shechita. So now that gets us into the thing that we said. You did it before the Kabbalah. Now that gets into the other thing, which is the Gemara is going to ask. So we just said, Rav Zera said that if you notch the ear and then you did the Kabbalah, then it's possible. Again, that it has to be the same intact animal that it was. So if you cut off the leg before Kabbalah, okay, you've accomplished that you're not going to have blood that's possible mixed in with the blood that's kosher, but now you have a different problem. Now you have a different problem. Now you have a problem that it's not hapar anymore. Amr of Chista, Amr of Vimi, Sar of Chista.
Does the par maybe apply only before the Shechita?
No. Obviously before the Shechita, it can't be a Baal Mum. That's obvious. We're talking about the point of Midam Hapar means that it has to be the same par before and after the Shechita, yeah. What you do is like this. When we say cut it off, we don't mean cut the whole thing off. We mean chosech be'eber. What you do is like this. You cut in the limb, you cut the muscles, you cut the skin and the muscles, ad shemagila etzem, until you reach the bone. So in other words, you cut the flesh, you cut the muscles all around. That way, you're cutting through the blood vessels. That way, no blood can flow from that part of the leg into the other parts of the leg and into the other parts of the animal, which now is going to come out in Kabbalah.
Which
you cut? You cut through all the muscles. In other words, you have here's the leg sticking out. So you cut through all around until the bone. You don't cut through the bone because then you'd have the problem of damapar. Well, then you'd have the problem that you made a mum because it's missing a limb. But if you just cut through the skin and the muscles, that doesn't constitute a mum. It doesn't constitute a mum. So therefore, you don't have an issue. So that's what you do in that case is you cut it first and then you do the kabbalah. Okay, the Rambam has...
You have no mum
and you have no mixing in the blood, right? Now the Rambam has a different understanding of our Gemara. The Rambam learns that actually Rashi is saying that all of this applies both to the Shechita and the Kabbalah, that it doesn't matter if you had a leg sticking out during Shechita, it's okay. The korban is still possible. You just have to make sure before you do the Kabbalah, as we're saying over here, cut the muscles around the leg. But Rambam understands it differently. But Rambam understands that if any part of the animal is sticking out during Shechita, then the korban is actually possible. The entire animal has to be inside the azara at the time of Shechita. So the Rambam would have to understand our Gemara as that after the Shechita, the animal jerked, as animals sometimes do after Shechita, and then some part of it moved outside. So that's the issue we're dealing with over here.
So,
but not that not the at the time of the Shechita was all inside, but then some of it drifts and now some of it is outside. Okay. So the question is, Shamat Mina, in that case, based on what you're saying over here, does that now what are you saying? The problem is again the blood from that leg, from the part that was sticking out, is going to circulate and is going to get mixed in with the other blood that's going into the midrash. The question is, Shamat Mina, can you derive from this the concept that dam hamuvla be'evorim damhu, that blood that's embedded in the limbs is considered blood for purposes of halacha? Now, when we say When we talk about in the Torah, when the Torah, first of all, when it comes to blood for Kabbalah and Zikah, as we said yesterday, it has to be Dama Nefesh, the initial amount that gushes out. But besides that also, you have other areas in the Torah also where there's a distinction between one and another type of blood. Chemically, of course, and you know, they're all the same thing, but blood is blood, but within an animal. But, no, that all cereal and Venus is whether it has oxygen and it's still the same, other than that, it's still the same molecule. But no, what halacha distinguishes between is there's for example, as far as the din that if a person eats blood, their chayav kares, that also only applies to dam hanefesh. So if we say over here that the blood in the evarim is blood in the evarim, if a person were to eat it, he's only chayav malchus. On the face of it though, of course, it's not dam hanefesh, exactly. So on the face of it, though, if we're saying that we're concerned about the blood that was in the leg that now is going to get mixed in with the other blood, it sounds like we're considering it fully 100% blood, because otherwise, what's the problem? It would be like water instead, as far as halacha is concerned. It wouldn't be considered blood, and therefore there wouldn't be a problem if a little of it gets in the mizrah. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta about cases where you have blood mixes in with the where water mixes in with blood, where it can be bottled. So
water can be bottled.
Yeah, we'll deal with it later on, So over here, there wouldn't be a problem. There wouldn't be a problem of yoyse if it wasn't considered blood. So on the face of it, does that mean that a person is going to be chayav kares for eating such blood? Now, Tosfos says, no, the Gemara is not even entertaining that idea. We know for a fact that dam ha'evarim is not chayav kares. Rather, Tosfos says there are a few other possibilities over here. We're talking about over here the question again of whether it can be yoyse, of whether it can be possible by yoyse, by going out of the azara. We're going to be discussing now in the sugya, we're going to be discussing in the next couple of lines the question of if the meat of a korban is taken out of the azara before the zrika, does it become possible? So are we considering this blood to be part of the meat or not? Another point Tosfos says, you have other details, and you have other areas in halacha where there's a difference between blood and non-blood. For example, as far as the question of Ne'ilah, as far as the question of Pigul, as far as the question we're going to learn later on in the Tzaddik, we're going to learn later on in Or Masechta, Dinim, that a special Dinim that applies blood of a Chatas drips or otherwise gets on garments, that's a special Dinim of how it has to be washed and cleansed. So for all those purposes, it's important to know whether Damei brought up his blood or not, right? So on the face of it, again, if we're saying that we're concerned about this blood in the leg, going and getting mixed with the other blood, it sounds like we're considering it fully blood. The answer is no. Dilma mishum shamnunis. Not necessarily. It may not be the blood itself that we're concerned about, but rather the fattiness that goes along with it. The fattiness is something that can be eaten. The blood itself may not be edible, but the fattiness is
something.
Yeah, there's the fat that's dissolved in the blood, for example, or you can just have fat that goes along with the blood. So therefore, now that gets absorbed and eventually comes out through the base of shchita, through the neck. It circulates along with the blood. And that's considered actual food. That's considered bata. All right. So therefore, that might be the issue. We're not necessarily talking about whether the blood in the leg is whether the blood in the leg is going to pass it. We're talking about the shamnunis that goes along with the blood. That's the pass it, okay. Because the shamnunis is something that's actually like the meat itself. It's fit to be eaten.
But it circulates.
Again, before the shchita, we're not worried about it. According to the Rambam, we are, because if you have any part of the animal outside, then the shchita is possible. But according to Rashi, we're not concerned about it before. We're not concerned about it until before the shchita. And by the way, we have a concept in halacha that comes up in a number of places. We'll learn about it in Kolin, among others, called that shamnunis, that fattiness is mafapeya. It spreads easily throughout everything. So you have dinim of that in connection with Tokos Kashrut, for example, where you have a fatty piece of meat and a lean piece of meat, where how much one will absorb from the other, and so forth. So here also we're saying that the fattiness can easily spread throughout the whole body of the animal, and therefore and then create problems therefore with the Kabbalah. By the way, there's a comparison that's brought in a number of places where in that sense chassidus is like fattiness, that it penetrates everything, that it penetrates all your areas of learning and then all your areas of avodah, or at least it should, very deeply. Okay. Anyway. Fine. The Gemara says, shamat mina, in that case, based on what we're saying over here, you're saying that the problem is, therefore, okay, we're saying the shamnunis, the fattiness, that which is considered like meat for that purpose, In that case, shamat mina, are you deriving from that then? The sar kodshim kalim shiyotza lifnei zrikas dam, that if meat of kodshim kalim was taken out of the azara before the zrika of the blood, posel, then you're saying that that meat is posel. Now, the question is, with kodshim kalim, we know they're going to be, they can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. Which means, once the zrika is done, the meat is going to be carried out of the azara. That's the normal way of doing things. So the question is, are we assuming over here that it means that if it went out before the zrika, then it becomes fossil? And that's the point that's going to be discussed later on in Olam HaSefta, in Perakola Tavir, in the Pei, and Rabbi Yochanan says that not actually. Rabbi Yochanan says the kodshim is one thing, because the meat's not supposed to be taken out of the azara. But with kodshim kalim, the meat will remain kosher if it's taken out too early. So on the face of it, we're saying over here it seems that it is fossil. This is Zuma Kodshim Kodshim. Fine, you could say that this whole discussion we're having over here is as far as Kodshim Kodshim. We didn't. We just said the general case. We talked with the general case where the legs were outside of the time of Shitta or the time of Kabbalah. Now we can say based on this that it means that all this is only talking about if it was Kodshim Kodshim. But with Kodshim Kalim, then no problem. Again, according to the Rambam, Shitta, you still have a problem anyway. All Shitta of all Korbanos, the entire Korban has to be inside. But when it comes to this business of it convulsed and moved outside the Azara after Shitta, by Kodshim Kalim, it'll be okay. Just move it back in. By Kodshim Kodshim, that's where we have a problem over here, and that's where you have to cut around the leg, etc. Okay. Turn it up on him.
Kodshim Kalim, they used to put it in legs or not?
They probably did, but they didn't have to necessarily. How would they move? Good. If they were in the ring, obviously there's a limit how much they can move. The rings are not near the edge of the azara anyway, but you didn't have to use the rings. You could just hold the animal down and check it, that's probably why. Turn it up on it. Kodshim Kodshim, Shchitasim Batsofen, Bekibul Domen Mechlisharis Batsofen. Kodshim Kodshim, as we know, we're going to learn the details later on, and you have to say it every day, and we're going to learn the details of it later on and on the sector. They have to be shechted in the northern side of the Azara, and the blood has to be received also in the Klisharis, also in the northern side. So let's figure out some details on that. Omad Badora in the Hoshit Yadil of Sofen, the Shochat. So suppose a person is standing in the southern half of the Azara, and he reaches over to the northern side and shech, shchitasik shera, and the shchita is kosher. He himself does not have to be standing in the north side. As long as the animal is standing on the north side, then that's good.
So he can be
standing on the south side.
On the south side, but as long as the shchita is done on the north side,
then we're good.
Then we're good.
On the other hand, Omad Badore, on the other hand, if he did that kind of thing when it came to Kabbalah, that he stood on the south side and reached over towards the north, then Kabbalah is fuller, then if Kabbalah is possible because when it comes to the shchita, the pasuk says oisoi, that if the korban has to be in the north and find the shochet, doesn't have to be. When it comes to Kabbalah, everything has to be in the north. Hichnis roish shivrovoi. Another din. What if the person brought his head and most of his body into the north side? So his feet, let's say, are on the south side, but he leaned over, so his head and most of his body is within the northern half. Then that's fine. If the michnas kulah, then it's considered as if he's all in there, and therefore the head and most of his body. Then his kabbalah is possible. So this that we were talking about, where the Kabbalah is possible, would be, for example, he's standing over here, the line between the north and the south is, let's say, over here. So he's standing over here, just reaching over here, that would be possible. But if he leaned over the line, so that his head and most of his body and his hands are over the line, and he does Kabbalah, then we're good. We don't worry about the shurikot of the Makabah we're talking about over here. This is all as far as kodshim kodshim. What about kodshim kalim? Shchitasim b'fnim b'kibul dom
b'fishim. Eruvin?
He
spoke about... What's the question? His head is on one side of the wall.
Oh, that's as far as Zinim of Rishat Yachad and Rishat Abed. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay, there here it's a little bit different. But now, all right. But in general, for most purposes in halacha, when a person's head and most of his body is in a certain place, considered as if he's...
How much is most of his body? 3/4 of
the time? I don't know. I guess still his waist. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. And also, pirkas of yachsel of dolet b'chazra. What happens to the animal itself? Let's say the animal itself is close to the midpoint of the azara, and after you shechted it, it convulsed, and some of it moved into the south side, and then it was pushed back, Ksheira, then it's kosher because we don't worry about that. In fact, Rashi says it doesn't even have to be pushed back. As long as the shchita and the tabala are done on the north side, we don't care if the animal itself, we don't care where the animal itself is, because Rashi says it's one thing going out of the azara. The difference is the azara is demarcated by walls. The north to the south, there's no wall between them. So therefore, it's just an imaginary divided line. So therefore, if the animal goes over it, as long as the shchita is done in the right place, the tabala is done in the right place, then we're not worried about it. Kodshim Kalim, now as far as Kodshim Kalim, Shchitasim B'Snim, B'Kibul Dom L'Chishos B'Snim, they have to be shechted in the Azara, but they can be anywhere in the Azara. The Kibul, the Kabbalah also can be anywhere in the Azara. So there the Dinim are as follows. Amad B'Chot Zehich Nisiyad L'Snim B'Shachat, so if a person stood outside the Azara and reached inside and shechted, Shchitasik Shera, then his Shchita is kosher. For the same reason, because the animal has to be lifnei Hashem, the shechet doesn't have to be lifnei Hashem. Kibol kabbalah sula, but if he did the kabbalah, then it would be possible for the same reason, because the kabbalah he himself has to be standing in the right place. Hichnes roshav
v'rubekilu loy nichnas. Here, when it comes to the kodshim kalim, when it comes to being inside the azara, even if he stuck his head and most of his body in, it's still not considered what he came in, because
the Gemara is going to say soon that it has to be when it comes to being in the Azara, you actually have to be, your entire body has to be in there. So therefore, there's no Rosh HaVeruba. It's one thing, the north and the south, your whole body is in the Azara, just one half of you is in the northern half and the other is in the southern half. That's fine. But the Azara itself, you have to be entirely inside the Azara for the Kabbalah.
How much of your body would be needed?
We'll see soon. We'll see at the end, right before the Mishnah. Okay. Tilks of Yotzal Achot V'Chazra, and if the animal convulsed, and some of it went outside the Azara, V'Chazra, and then it came back in, Tzula, then it's possible, because then you have the problem that we discussed before, that the meat, or that the fat, or the whatever, gets mixed in over there from the outside to the inside.
The fact that now it went out, and now
it's possible because of Yotze, because the meat went out. So again, the question is, so again, are you saying that means that if meat of Kodshim Kalim is taken out of the Azara before the blood is sprinkled, then the meat would be possible? Again, Rabbi Yechanan says later on in our Masechet that it would be kosher. Because the meat is anyway.
Because that's what we're saying. If the animal convulsed and some of it wound up outside the Azara,
right,
then we're saying that meat is fossil.
Right.
Now, why should it be fossil?
According to this, it would be kosher because meat of kosher cow eventually is going to be taken out of the Azara anyway. It's going to be taken someplace else in Yerushalayim and then
eaten there.
But maybe at the time of the Shkita and...
No, Rabbi Yochanan said, since eventually it's going to destiny to be taken out, then even if
it's taken out before the Zrika, it still remains kosher.
Does Chachamim agree with that?
This is Rabbi Yechon on the Amora. It's not a question of the Chachamim. It's Rabbi Yechon on the Amora says this in later on in Perakolatodim. Okay. So the answer is Dilma, maybe this last Braisa is talking about not something like a leg or something like that, which is going to be eaten, but rather it's referring to the parts that are burnt on the Mizbeach. Ba'alya, it's referring, for example, to the fat tail, which is from a sheep, which is brought as part of the carbon.
Which is offered on the Mizbeach. But you set up the carbon over the lobe of the liver. Or the two
kidneys, those things are burnt on the Mizbeach. Those you don't say that they're destined to go outside the Azara, because they're not. They're supposed to remain in the Azara and be burnt on the Mizbeach. So those, you can argue, become possible by those you can say. That's what the Braith can be referring to when it says if they went out after the Shchita, or even after the Kabbalah, or whatever, or at any point, then they become possible because they're supposed to stay inside the whole time and be burnt on the Mizbeach. In other words, if let's say the back half of the animal went out, so now you have the tail is outside, and you have the cloyus are outside, but you also have the back legs and whatever. So you have the alya and the cloyus, therefore, will be possible to be brought on the back. The legs will still be kosher to be eaten, because like Rabbi Yechanan says, they're destined to go out anyway. Okay.
Anything above the legs? Above the tail?
No, it's not anything above the tail. It's the specific part,
the tail and the two kidneys and the lobe of the liver. Okay, but my point is, in other words,
it's not everything above the tail. It's whichever parts are burnt on the mizbeach, whichever parts are supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach,
right.
And now they're outside the azara, they're tossed over being, but any other parts that are that went along with it outside, like the legs or what have you, are still kosher to be eaten.
The lungs and then the heart are yes.
The parts of the on the mizbeach are the in the case of the sheep, the alya, in the case of everything else, the
yiseris are covered, the cloyus and the chaylev and the various. And the various sheets of chaylev that are on the inside that are in the body cavity of the animal.
What do they do with the heart and the lungs?
Oh, the heart. Before you could eat. I mean, you learned in Horius that if you eat the heart of an animal, it's kosher l'shicha, but it is kosher. You are allowed to eat it. So and the lungs also, you could eat them.
Okay. Avur Shmuel's father one time asked Shmuel's father. He's not asking him to find out the halacha. He's asking him to test.
They ask him as follows. First of all, he b'fnim v'ragleh b'chutz mahu. If the animal is inside the azara and its feet are outside, what is the din? So before, we had a whole discussion about this now, but the point is that first of all, this is part of the text. But second of all, also Avor Shmuel is asking him, are you l'chatchila supposed to shech the animal in that position? Or should you l'chatchila bring the legs in first and only the d'yevet? If you didn't, then according to Rashi, it'll be kosher, and according to the Rambam, it'll still be kosher. Amalei, so Shmuel answers, Ve'ksiv, the pasuk says, Ve'hevi'um la'Hashem, the pasuk says, they should bring them to Hashem, implying, Achete kol l'pnim, implying the entire animal is supposed to be inside. So therefore, according to Rashi l'chachila, and according to the Rambam, even b'di'evet, the whole animal has to be inside. If the legs are outside, then no good. Okay. Next, Avor de Shmuel asks, according to Rashi, b'di'evet, it would be kosher. B'di'evet, it would be kosher. You'd have to do what we do. According to Rashi, but yeah, but it would be kosher. You'd have to do what we said before, slice around the bone and not slice through the bone in order not to create a boom, and then do the Kabbalah. Right.
Not
according to the Rambam, it would be possible because the shritter was done with some of the animal outside. Right. What about Avur d'Shmua? In Tol of a Shachat Mahu, what if you hung up the animal in the air and then you shechted it? So you didn't shecht it lying on the floor or standing as you usually would, but rather you hung it and you hung it in the air. And
after
no, before shchita, and then you shechted it. What would be the din? It's such a shchita kasha. And by the way, I mean, posts can talk about that question as far as shchita for cholim, how you do it in order to avoid it. Because you can, depending on how the animal is hung up, you may end up with issues of drossa that you end up pressing against the neck for the shchita rather than a back and forth motion like it's supposed to be. Or you may end up with problems of ikur, that the simonim, that the windpipe and the esophagus get torn out of place.
By motion,
or just by stress, or whatever. So we're talking about obviously it's hanging in such a way that none of those are an issue. But the question is, as far as kobanas, would it be kosher? Amalei ksheda. So Shmuel says it would be kosher. Amalei, Avur d'Shmuel tells him no, ishabsh. You've made a mistake. But in shchita al yerech, because the pasuk says that the korban has to be shechted al yerech hamizbeach at the side of the mizbeach, the lecha. And now you don't have that because this is at the side of the mizbeach, hanging in the air. Okay,
side means
someplace on the floor, next to the mizbeach,
If he hangs it in the air next to the mizbeach.
But it's still not al yerech hamizbeach. Yerech implies that it's on the floor. Okay. Then he asks him, mashma etzler, Rashi says, it's mashma next to it. So etzler b'karka, the shishmuk of etzler, adds the detail. It means next to it, means on the ground. Okay. Not there. Okay, what about, he asked him, nitzel of a shachat mahu, fine, what about if the kohen, or whoever it is, anybody can check the kohen, if the person is hanging in the air, and then he does the shchita, would that be kosher? Amalei possible. Amalei tzula. So Shmuel says it's possible, because he figures it's the same as the kohen. Again, amalei ishtabsha, so again, Avur d'Shmuel tells him, you made a mistake. Shchita al yerech, halei shechat al yerech. The shchita, the animal has to be al yerech on the deck. Doesn't say that the shechit has to be al yerech on the deck, so the shechit can be hanging in the air.
And
do the shchita while he's hanging in there. Yeah. Okay. How about another case? Nitzel v'kibul mahu. What about, he asked him, what about if the person was hanging in the air and did the kabbalah, what would be the din? Amalek shera. So Shmuel figures, okay, it must be the same as the shchita. If the shchita is kosher hanging in the air, the kabbalah must be also. Again, amalek shtabshus. And again, I've heard the Shmuel told him, you got it wrong. Tough test, yeah. Ein jerech shirus v'kach. That's not the normal way of serving. It's one thing the shchita is not considered an avodah. So therefore, you do the shchita hanging in the air, it doesn't matter. But the Kabbalah is already a shirus. It's already a service of Hashem. It has to be done by a kohen. He has to be wearing bezek kohuna, etc. So therefore, if he does it hanging in the air, that's not derech shirus. It's not the way of standing there and serving Hashem, and therefore it's possible. Incidentally, by the way, a couple of the acronym, the Kurtla acronym, talk about an interesting point. The Abner Nezer talked about, the Moshe Feinstein talked about on the face of it. The Gemara first said, we have a different problem anyway, Chatzitza. The Gemara said the other day that the Kohen has to be standing directly on the floor. He can't be standing on a keli, he can't be standing on somebody else's feet, etc. We see from this that air apparently is not considered a Chatzitza. Now,
how can you be standing in the air without a platform or something?
It could be, for example, it could be suspended from a rope, it could be suspended from a hot air balloon, I don't know, whatever, yeah. Now, we learned a few days ago, we learned last week that the big kahuna have to be directly on the person's skin and no air between them. So there, Rav Sura Moshe writes, evidently there, it's not a matter of chatzitza, it's a special din that applies over there where air would be considered a problem, but ordinarily, but just for the big kahuna, not, in ordinary cases, air is not necessarily considered a chatzitza. We see that from here, from the fact that the Gemara didn't bring up that one. What about tall of a kibble mahu? So, okay, I've heard the Shmuel ask, what about a case if you hung the animal in the air and you did the Kabbalah that way? Amalek Sula. So, Shmuel figures is possible. Amalek again, Ishtabshus. No, again, you made a mistake. Fourth time, yep. Zero for four. One for five, actually, because he did get the first one, correct? Okay. Because Shchita al Yarech for the Kabbalah. Because only the shchit has to be next to the mizbeach, the Kabbalah does not. It doesn't say that the Kabbalah has to be next to the mizbeach, so therefore it's kosher. Okay. So far, that's between Avor Shmuel and Shmuel. But now we're going to have other opinions. Amar Abaya, not necessarily was Shmuel wrong on all of these. The kodshim kodshim kolam stolis, b'am in nitzla v'shachat, when it comes to kodshim kodshim, three out of these four cases are going to be possible. The only one that would be kosher is if the person is hanging in the air and did the shchita, because as I said, shchita is not an avoida, and therefore we don't care if he's not standing on the floor. With kodshim kodshim, though, the shchita and the kabbalah, the animal has to be on the floor and not hanging in the air. And not like Avor de Shmuel had said that Kabbalah would be kosher when it's in the air. No, by kosher kosher, it has to be all on the floor, and the person himself has to be standing on the floor when it comes to Kabbalah. The kodshim kalim kolam sheres b'amin nitzla v'kibble. When it comes to kodshim kalim, says Abaya, three out of four of them will be kosher, except for the case where he's hanging in the air and doing Kabbalah. So the reason is because only by kodshim kodshim does it say this word al yarech hamizbeach. So therefore you can't apply it to kodshim kalim. By the kodshim kalim, it doesn't say they have to be al yarech hamizbeach. It doesn't say they have to be in the north. So therefore, as long as they're somewhere in the airspace, the azara, then it's kosher. Except for nitzla v'kibbol, because in yarech shiros v'kach, you have to do the services in the mishmitzvah in the proper way, where you're standing on the floor and not hanging in the air. So kabbalah with the person hanging in the air would be possible, but the kabbalah with the animal hanging in the air with kodshim kalim, Abaye says would be kosher, and shchita would be kosher, whichever one of them is hanging in the air.
Anything else in shchita?
So when it comes to kosher, kodshim, the only thing that's kosher, says Abaya, is the only thing, when it comes to kosher, kodshim, the only thing that's kosher is nifla v'shot, that's the person hanging in the air and doing the shchita. Any of the other three cases would be possible. When it comes to kodshim kalim, the other way around, three out of the four cases are kosher, the only one that's possible is nifla v'kibble, of hanging in the air and doing the kabbalah, but in derech shirus. Amar Rava, so
Rava is not shirus.
No, that's the thing. Kabbalah is shirus. Therefore, you have to be standing on the floor. Shchita is not shirus.
Shchita
is not shirus. That's why Zohar says it. Amar Rava, why? Maishna tol of a kibble of a kodshim kalim dikshera. Why are you telling me that if you hung the animal in the air and did Kabbalah with kodshim kalim, you're saying it would be kosher? You're arguing the avat pnim kipnim dami, because you're arguing that the airspace inside the azara is considered like the azara itself. Well then, the kodshim kodshim nami, avat sotim kisotim dami. Well then, what are you telling me about kodshim kodshim that would be possible because not in the north? If you say that the airspace of the Azara is considered like the Azara, then the airspace of the north side should be considered like the north side, and it should be kosher. Elo amar Rava, no. Ben the kodshim kodshim, ben the kodshim kalim kshedus. No, we're even more lenient than Abaya, and definitely more lenient than Avor de Shmuel. Both by kodshim kodshim and by kodshim kalim, all three out of these four cases are kosher. Bar min tol of a shochet the kodshim kodshim, except for as follows. When it comes to kodshim kodshim, the exception, which would be possible, is tol of a shachas, if you hung up the animal and shafted it, because then it's not al-yerachim there. Al-yerach implies that it has to be on the floor. But the Kabbalah can be with the Kabbalah, the animal can be hanging in the air, because avet sofen is kitsofen. So it's
kodshim kodshim.
For kodshim kodshim, yeah. And nifla b'kibbol, ben b'kodshim kodshim, ben b'kodshim kalim. And also another one that would be possible is if he hung in the air and did the Kabbalah, that would apply to both, because again, in derech shiras. So of the eight possible cases where he's hanging in the air or the animal is hanging in the air, shchita and Kabbalah, kodshim kodshim and kodshim kalim, those three axes, Rava is saying, out of those, five out of the eight will be kosher. The only one that will be possible is the animal hanging in the air during shchita of kodshim kodshim, or the person hanging in the air during Kabbalah of either kodshim kodshim or kodshim kalim. And that's the halacha. Bominated yumi amir. So it means, in other words, by the way, that Shmuel didn't totally fail his test. He didn't mention the thing about kodshim kodshim and kodshim kalim, but yeah.
For us, it will fail, but...
Yeah, okay. Bominated of yumi amir amir. What if the person, and we said before the person has to be standing inside the Azara, and all of him, not just Rosh Hashanah, what if the entire body of his is in the Azara, but his hair is sticking outside of the Azara? Mabu, what would be the din? Well, is his hair considered part of his body or not?
Now, with the hair of the...
Of the person.
Of the Kohen?
Of the Kohen, yeah, whoever it is, the Shechting, yeah. Amalek, or not Shechtin, we said Shechtin, he couldn't stand there. I said, yeah, the Kohen, he was doing the Kabbalah. Amalek, so Reb Zeta asked him, Lav Amet Ve'evium La'Hashem Ha'Chitavei Kulonim. Didn't we say before that the word Ve'evium La'Hashem implies that the entire korban has to be inside the Azara at the time of Shechita? Hachanami, the same thing over here, when the pasuk says Be'voyim Al Oyo Moed, when they come into the Oyo Moed, means Ha'Chitavei Kulon Oyo Moed, means all of him, including his hair, has to be inside the Oyo Moed. So if he did the Kabbalah with even his hair sticking out, then it'll be possible.
How much,
should we? Any amount.
Okay.
Mishnah says. Okay, so now we're going to talk. So far in this paragraph, we've been talking about various psulim of korbanos, where the kohen was possible for one reason or another. If he was an oral, he was a tomei, he wasn't a kohen at all, etc. We had the last mishnah again talked about the case where we had where the blood spilled. So now we're going to have more cases where the korban can be possible. Not now, Gabi Akevah Shloike Negrayisoid. If you sprinkle the blood of the korban on, these are two different things. Not now, Gabi Akevah. If you put the blood on the ramp of the mizbeach, so in other words, it's supposed to be put on the actual body. In the case of the chatos, it's supposed to go just daubed on the four corners. In the case of most other korbanos, it's sprinkled Shtein Shein Arba on two opposite corners. Most korbanos actually is supposed to be below the midpoint on the day. I'm going to say that in a second. But the point is, in this case, what he did is he sprinkled or daubed the blood on the kevesh, on the ramp of the mizbeach. That's no good, because the ramp is not considered part of the mizbeach for that point. Or shaloik neged ayisod, or he put it on the mizbeach, but not on one of the walls that had a yisod underneath it, because we learned a few days ago that the mizbeach only had a yisod going completely around two sides, and not at all, or not completely around the other two sides. So let's say, for example, the mizbeach is standing, the heichal is standing over here, the mizbeach is over here, the two sides that have yisod are this and this, the west side and the north side. So if he were to go over, let's say, to the east side, which doesn't have the yisod, and sprinkle the blood over there, then the korban would be possible. It has to be that you're doing it above a place which has yisod.
That would be the yisod.
So the yisod goes around two sides of the mizbeach and then sticks out some here and some here.
The closest side to the heichal.
Well, the north side is not any closer to the heichal than the south side. But yeah.
Well, this is closer to
the heichal. The heichal is over here. It's this complete side and this complete side. The complete western side and the complete northern side have yisod, and then it sticks out a little bit in the corner over here and a little bit in the corner over here. They have different understandings among the Rishonim exactly how much it sticks out, does it wrap around a little bit, whatever. The point is that the most of the eastern side of the mizbeach and most of the southern side of the mizbeach does not have a yisod. So if you were to put the blood there, the korban would be possible. or nothing as an internal master lamaila, if you applied blood that's supposed to go on the lower half of the mizbeach and you applied it to the upper half, so an ola, shlomim, and ashra, most tovonis, the blood is supposed to go on the lower half of the mizbeach, instead you did it the shayim shenava on the upper half, as we look at that main puzzle, as we learned before, we talked about in the first paragraph that you have the red line surrounding the mizbeach, the chutah sikra. It was painted exactly halfway up the height of the mizbeach. So that mark where the one half goes to and then where the other half starts. In the mizbeach and the mishkan, instead the pasuk describes that they made a netting around it, and the edge of the netting marked off the midpoint of the mizbeach.
They had a net.
So they had a netting, a copper netting made around the mizbeach. Where the edge of it, the top edge of it, I think, marked off the midpoint of the mizbeach in Beis Elamim, in the Beis Mikdash, instead they had a red line painted around the mizbeach. Okay. Or Beis Anitonim L'mayla L'mata, or the other way around, you took blood that was supposed to go on the top half of the mizbeach, for example, the chatas, and you put it on the bottom half. Beis Anitonim L'fnim B'chutz, or you took blood that was supposed to be sprinkled inside the heichol, like the Kavanos of Yom Kippur, and you applied it to the outer mizbeach. That's an itonim b'chutz with him, or you applied blood that was supposed to go on the outer mizbeach and you put it on the inner mizbeach. In all those cases, possible. In all those cases, the korban is possible. The ain by koris, but if you eat the korban, then there's no koris involved. We'll see in the Gemara. We'll eventually explain why the Mishnah needs to say that. So why would you pick this? So, Omar Shmuel. Sul Bachar, when we say in the Mishnah over here that the korban is possible, we don't mean that it's completely possible. We mean the meat is possible to eat if the blood was done like that on the kevesh or on the wrong side of the dam or whatever. Ava bailu niskatu, but the owner has his kapara, he was yotzei with the korban.
And that's in the case where
in all these okay, so hold on. So Tosfos discusses that at great length over here. All we're talking about is Shmuel meaning to include even the case where you put it on the Kevesh, the first case of the Mishnah. On the face of it, maybe not. Maybe the Kevesh is not considered at all part of the Mizbeach, and their fortune work. So the Tosfos goes back and forth on that, and Tosfos later on with Hagga, and Tosfos is a sort of a footnote or a later version of Tosfos or whatever that says maybe after all, yes, the fact is that the fact is that the Mishnah and the Gemara are not making a distinction over here. The Rambam also learns that way. The Rambam learns that people that when Shmuel says this din, he means it to apply to all the cases in the Mishnah. Even the case where the blood was placed on the Kevesh, and even also the cases that we have at the end of the Mishnah, where you have blood that was taken into the Heichol instead of being sprinkled on the outer Mizbeach, or vice versa.
Also.
Then also, again, the korban, the meat is not allowed to be eaten, but the korban is that the owner was yotzei for the korban. They do say, though, that on the other hand, for example, if let's say, for example, he took blood of korbanos that's meant to be sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, for example, and he did it on the outer mizbeach, that not necessarily would be say the korban is kosher, because then later on, for some of it is supposed to go on the golden mizbeach, the first is supposed to be sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Kodesh or whatever, so that not necessarily would be. Okay, my time. Now, why is that? Why is Shmuel saying that the korban in and of itself is kosher and only kosher? Because the Amar Krav Anina Sakev Lachem Al Mizbeach L'Chater, the pasuk says that blood of an animal, Ki Nefesh Abasa Dami B'Nafshehu, that the blood of an animal is its nefesh, its life force. Anina Sakev Lachem Al Mizbeach L'Chater, and I have given it to you that it should go on the mizbeach to atone. Implying kibbutzim via dam mizbeach, as soon as blood reaches any part of the mizbeach, niskatu b'ayin, the owner has his kapara. So it's the wrong part of the mizbeach, or even if it's the wrong mizbeach, or whatever, it doesn't matter, it still reached the mizbeach. So again, that's what drives the whole discussion in Tosfos about the question whether that applies to the kevesh. Do we say that to that extent the kevesh is considered part of the mizbeach or not?
It's called the kevesh,
but maybe for that extent it's considered part of the mizbeach. So that's what I'm saying. Tosfos gets into a long discussion back and forth about it. But you have different conclusions. The first part of Tosfos says that not, and the second part says that yes. So, we're not talking like toasters in these things. And these are all hilchos on the Mashiach. Again, these are halachos that'll be applicable again only when Mashiach comes. And at that point, we'll be at that point, the Sanhedrin, the Lashkar Pagosis will decide it. But in general, we say that the Rambam is for the most part, as opposed to Gachar and these things, because he's the only one who deals with them and who deals with them systematically. And he says that it's kosher even in that. So the question is, by that logic, you should say the meat should also be kosher to eat. Why are you telling me that it's not?
Why should it be also?
Well, if you're telling me, kimchi gear down the back, scat the bile, as soon as blood reached them as back, the kapara has been accomplished, then why shouldn't it make meat kosher to eat as well? The answer is, amakura lachaper, because the pasuk says the word lachaper, which is a mute. Lachapara nistativ, I've given the blood to you as long as it reaches them as back, for kapara, not for any other purpose. So it's not makshur the meat to be eaten, but it is makshur that the korban itself, that the owner was yours. Okay, so the Gemara says alma kasabar. Okay, so we see from this Mishnah that we hold. Evidently, what we're saying is that if something was placed in the wrong place, it's considered as if it was placed in the right place. Now, because that's what we're saying, that the blood was placed on some other part of the mizbeach, and we're saying to that extent it's still considered as if it was placed in the right place, on the right corners, or the right half of the mizbeach, or what have you, and therefore the korban is kosher. Well, let's see if we can make that work, because tnan the idah tirkin, we learn in the next paragraph, nusnei rakevesh shaloka neged hayisod, that we have a case if he placed the blood on the, again, similar to our Mishnah, if he placed the blood on the kevesh, on the ramp of the mizbeach, or shaloka neged hayisod, he placed it on a side of the mizbeach that does not have yisod underneath it, or nusnei as an internal masa l'mayla, or he took the blood that was supposed to be placed on the lower half and put it on the upper half, that's an internal mayla l'masa, or blood that was supposed to be on the upper half he put on the lower half. That's an itanan b'snim b'chol, so he took blood that was supposed to be inside, that was supposed to be applied inside the hankel, on the mizbeach hazav, and did it out on the outside mizbeach. That's an itanan b'chol b'snim, or blood that was supposed to go outside, is out on the outer mizbeach, he does inside.
It all goes outside and what goes inside?
Most korbanos, the blood goes on the outside mizbeach only.
Right.
You have certain korbanos, the
azav is inside.
The mizbeach azav is inside. So you have two of the korbanos of Yom Kippur, the par and the sayer. The blood is brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and sprinkled there, then into the heichal and sprinkled there, then sprinkled on the mizbeach azav, then the rest of the blood is taken and poured on the outer mizbeach on the side. You have the par koyin mashiach that we learned about in Horius, and the par helam zava shal tzibur that we also learned about there, and the siri avodah zarah for the tzibur that we learned about over there. Those also, the blood is taken into the heichal and sprinkled over there in front of the parochas and on the mizbeach hazav, and the rest of the blood is poured on the side, and that's it. So those are the five korbanos. Those are the five korbanos. The par of the sayer is in tzibur, the par koyin gadol, the par helam zava shal tzibur, and the siri avodah zarah shal tzibur. Five cases where the blood is supposed to be brought into the hay hole and sprinkled over there. All the other cases, it's only on the outer mizbeach. Yeah. Okay. So we say in the Mishnah over there, im yesh dam ha-nefesh, it could happen that you didn't use up all the dam ha-nefesh, you still have some of it left, or it could even happen, we're going to look...
You didn't use the whole
dam ha-nefesh. Because you caught it all when it came out, as we learned yesterday, you're supposed to catch all of it. So like this, we'll talk about...
It's not dam ha-nefesh anymore,
but first of all, you could have, for example, that some of it was caught in one container and some in another.
Right.
Yeah, this is a close Sigmar calls that later on. So you could have that. But no, they're both dam ha-nefesh. Then you caught half of the gush in one, half and half of it in the other. So it continues gushing for a couple of minutes, and it takes time. We're not just talking about a couple of seconds. Once it stops gushing and it starts trickling, then it's dam ha-nefesh. Okay. So the point is, if you still have dam ha-nefesh, Yachzer a kosher v'yikabel. Then what you should do is have a kohen who is kosher to do the avoda. Let him do kabbalah enough to do the proper amount of matanis, and then he'll do them in the proper place. And in other words, the fact that the initial matanis were done in the wrong place does not pass all the curve. So the question is, the isak dat shalobim koma kimakoma, if you're telling me that once it was placed in the wrong place, it's considered effectively as if it was considered in the right place, as if it was in the right place, lomal yakta kosher v'yikabel. Why are you bothering to have the kosher go and receive the blood again? The blood's already been placed. It's already been placed. So you're telling me, okay, maybe the reason is because you want to make the meat of the korban able to be eaten. So again, in the case of on Mishnah, let's say you have a regular shlomim or a regular chatas or what have you, where the blood was placed in the wrong part of the mizbeach, was saying that Shmuel was saying the korban is kosher, but the meat can't be eaten. So now we're saying, maybe what you do in that case, so let's say they put the blood in the wrong place, we're saying that a kosher should go and start all over again and do a new kabbalah and so forth, and we're saying, therefore, that what that will accomplish is it'll make the meat will be mutter to eat. So in other words, you'll say, as far as the zrika was already accomplished, even though it was in the wrong place. But now you're saying, you'll do a second zrika in order to make the meat mutter to eat. The problem with that is, where do you ever find such a case that you have a zrika of blood that's not machaper, and it makes the meat, and afterwards you're going to have the ability to make the meat able to be eaten? If the original zrika accomplished the kapara, this second zrika, which is not accomplishing a kapara, can't make it more to eat. A zrika can only be master to meat to eat if it's machaper.
Well, that's the first zrika.
Yeah, that's the point. So the first zrika was possible, and we said it makes the meat, at that point the meat is possible to eat. The second zrika is not accomplishing anything as far as kapara.
The zrika is what exactly?
Again, we said that, let's say, for example, with a chatas, the blood is supposed to be put on the top half of the bath. So let's say he put it on the bottom half instead. So we're saying that a kosher should go do a new kabbalah, do a new application of the blood on the four corners. Now, what is that supposed to accomplish? If the first one already accomplished the kapara, and we're considering as if it's already in the proper place, then what is the second one accomplishing? You're going to say it's accomplishing that now the meat will be mutter to eat. How could it be mutter the meat to eat? To be mutter the meat to be eaten, that zrika, that application of blood, has to be accomplishing something like this, not accomplishing anything, because the kapara was already accomplished. I mean, you have cases, you know, we have cases in the first parak where a korban is brought and it's not machaper, we had cases in the first parak, right, where you have korban was brought shaloi l'shma, and we said it's not machaper, right. But nevertheless the meat is eaten. But the difference is over there, there you have the initial zrika, there's only the one zrika.
There's only the one zrika,
okay, the zrika itself is to a certain extent possible because the korban was done shaloi l'shma. And therefore, it's not counting for the owner. But nevertheless, still fine. It's, you know, it doesn't really accomplish kapara, but nevertheless, that's the way it's supposed to be done. But here, we're talking about there was already a zrika done that did the full-fledged kapara. What is the second one adding? So the answer is, idiyavik kosher hokanam. You're right. If the first application of blood in the wrong place had been done by a kohen who's kosher, then you're right. The second one wouldn't accomplish anything, and there'd be no point in doing it. Ha-ha-mayasin idiyavik kosher. Rather, that Mishnah in the next paragraph is talking about a case where the initial application was done by somebody who's possible. For example, a Zohar or Tomei or what have you. Actually, Tosfos says we're not just talking about any kind of possible. What we're talking about over here is, because Tosfos asked the question, if it was a Zohar, for example, then who cares if he put it in the wrong place? And if he put it in the right place, would it make the korban any more kosher? So therefore, that leads Tosfos to say that the possible we're talking about over here is specifically a Tomei. Not just any kind of possible, but specifically a tomei, where again you have a tomei in certain cases can offer korbanos anyway. Korbanos did it. The tumor dechoyer or horter of the sin. So therefore, so that makes a difference. So only because he put it in the wrong place, are we saying that another koyin can then make that another kosher koyin can then make up for it by putting it in the right place? But if it had been a zor, in other words, it wouldn't matter. Either way, he wouldn't have accomplished anything. And if it was, then if and well, the zor might no, well, the zor yeah, the zor would be high, not kares in this situation, but yeah. Rashi also points out, anyway, what the Gemara is saying over here, that we're talking about over here, apostle, that's the context that Mishnah is actually talking about, where apostle did the avoda, and we're talking about whether a kosher can redo it after.
Apostle meaning
apostle, again, no, Rashi just says generically a parcel. The Gemara is just saying generically a parcel. Tosfos explains on that basis that it must mean specifically a child. Okay. Okay, the problem with that is the Lehevi Dochu. In that case, then don't you have a problem that now the Korban has been disqualified, and now you're trying to make it qualified again by doing a second zika. And we discussed about the whole issue of dichui. We still in the first parak that we said even when it comes to living animals, the Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Bala Chaim Nidchen. The halacha is not like him, fine. The halacha is Bala Chaim Nidchen. But once the korban has been shechted, there's no question it can be nidcha. And once it's nidcha, not necessarily is it going to be acceptable again. So here the korban was nidcha. Because by having the blood placed in the wrong place, you're saying that it's possible. Or not possible, but whatever, we're saying the meat can't be eaten. How are you saying? Even though it was a Korean Tomei who did it, but how are you saying that a Korean kosher is going to be able to undo that and then get it to be kosher again?
Because his previous sin was what, possible?
Because now it became possible when this possible did the first step. Ditnan, as in fact we learned in the Mishnah, also in that context, the next paragraph, the chol and shekib lechutz was mane vechutzlam kovei. We said any of these cases where apostle in any of these cases where apostle did the kabbalah chutzlas mane with a thought of chutzlas mane that he's going to do, whether he's going to do one of the later of it, he's going to do the zrika or the eating or what have you. Yeah, we make the table or chutzlam kovei. You have a thought of chutzlam kovei. He's going to do it outside the azara. Im yesh dama nefesh. So if there is still dama nefesh available, yachta kosher yikabel, then the kosher should go and do another kabbalah. Implying kibloi ein zoker loy, implying that only works if the posel, if the posel did the kabbalah with a wrong machshava, then we're saying that a kosher can do a new kabbalah, because the first one, since he's not roy avoda, so his machshava is not affected. Implying zoko loy, but implying if he actually did the zrika, then it wouldn't work. It would be possible because the fact is he did the zrika. My time a lav mishum dichui. Now, why would there be that difference? Why would we say that Kabbalah could be redone by another kohen, but zrika could not? Apparently, the reason must be because once zrika was done by apostle, then it's finished. It's dochui and it can't be undone. The answer is loy. No, that's not the distinction. The reason is mishum the apostle the machshava. The reason is what we're saying, that it only works when by Kabbalah, it doesn't work by Zrika. The reason is because when he did the Zrika, we had a Machsheves Tzul, he had a Machsheves Man or a Machsheves Makim, and that made the Korban possible or Piggle, as the case may be.
And not what cannot.
Well, there's another question, is you have a Kabbalah Nami, well, then wouldn't that apply to Kabbalah as well? The same Machsheves possible by Kabbalah as they do by Zrika. But oi, me posel machshava, and besides, you have to ask in general, is it really true that a posel who's doing the avoda is going to be able to parcel it with a wrong machshava?
What do you mean it's true?
V'ha'amad Rava, but didn't Rava say, ein machshava me'elas, a machshava that parcels a korban, for example, chutzlas mano, chutzlam koimo, shini Hashem, etc., those kinds of things, only parcel the korban. El of Misha Roy La Avoida, it has to be somebody who is suitable to do the Avoida, so a Kohen who's kosher, not a Zor, not a Tomei, not any of the other psalim that we learned before. Ubedova Haroy La Avoida, second of all, it only applies to something that is suitable for the Avoida. Now, what do you mean something that's suitable for the Avoida? So the Raivet takes it at face value. He says it means, for example, as opposed to, let's say, a Kohen that otherwise is possible because of Balmum, because of Nevad, or Mukta, or what have you, so then Pigle can't apply to it. Rashi says that's not what it's talking about, though. Rashi says, based on the Gemara and Menachos, that what it means is as opposed to the Mincha Pa'oimer. We know that the concept of pigul doesn't just apply to animal korbanos; it can apply to Menachos as well. However, it only applies to the kind of Mincha that is generally brought. The Mincha Pa'oimer is unique among all the Menachos. It's the only one brought. From good quality barley flour. We have Mincha Sota, which is also brought from barley flour, but it's of a different kind. The Mincha Sota'imer is the only kind brought from good quality barley flour, and that's the first one in the season. Before that, you're not allowed to bring any Mincha from that year's crop. So therefore, when we say B'dava Haroi La'Voida, we mean Pigul does not apply to the Mincha Sota'imer. If the Kohen who was doing one of the avodas, the Mincha Ta'omer, if he were to have a Machsheves Man or Machsheves Mokum or what have you, it wouldn't pass it up. Because it's not Dova Haroi La'avoda. It's not the kind of thing that could be used for a different avoda. It's unique only to that Kohen.
Which Kohen?
The Kohen Omer. That's what we mean by Dova Haroi La'avoda. And also it only applies in a place that is Roy for the Avodah, which means not only obviously inside the Azara, but Rashi says, again based on the Gemara and Menachos, it means as opposed to, for example, we have a din that if the Mizbeach was, that if the Mizbeach, the walls of the Mizbeach are supposed to be smooth, if there was a dent made in it of a certain minimum size, then the Mizbeach becomes possible and you can't bring Korbanos until it's fixed. The size, if I remember correctly, is the size of a fist. Yeah, it's half more about that. I think so, yeah. I think actually that
creeps in the wall.
Yes, I think actually there's a distinction whether it's just plaster around it that's got nicked or whether a stone is removed. I don't remember the exact details, but whatever it is, the point is that you can have a case where the mosaic is possible because it was nicked, and then at that point no korbanos can be brought until it's fixed. So that's what it means. The makom haroi la'avod. So if during the time when the mizbeach is damaged like that, if somebody were to check the korban with or do one of the other avodas of a korban with machsheves man or machsheves makom, it wouldn't be feasible.
Because
not a place that's suitable for the avodah. Temporarily, the avodah has to be suspended until the mizbeach can be fixed. So the point is, we're not really focusing on those. We're focusing now on the person has to be roi l'avodah. So therefore, if a zur, for example, or Tomei, or any of these other ones did it, then it wouldn't matter. So what are you assuming over here?
It would not matter?
It would, if he did... It would be possible because he was a czar, but it wouldn't be possible, it wouldn't become pigle, though. A machshava of pigle can only apply where the person is roi l'avoda, the place is roi l'avoda, and the thing is roi
l'avoda.
Right. By the way, the Tiferet Yisrael says you can remember these things by looking at the word Adam. The Aleph stands for Adam, which means the person has to be roi. The Dalet stands for Dover, the thing has to be roi. And the Mem stands for Mokim, the place has to be roi. Anyway, the point is, again, that in our case over here, if you had a Zor doing Kabbalah or Zrika, and he had a thought of Chutzlus Manai, it wouldn't make it pigle. But what are you telling me?
If
Zor or Tomei or any of these, whatever.
Because
not Roy Lavod. So what are you telling me that you want to make a distinction between Kabbalah and Zrika because he's having a machshava? First of all, if you're worried about machshava, that could apply equally well to Kabbalah and to Zrika. But besides that, it really doesn't apply to either one of them because he's not roi l'avoda. So therefore, what are you distinguishing over here between the case over here that you're saying that he did the Zrika in the wrong place and now you're able to have and now you're able to have another kohen do the zrika and rectify it, but don't you have a problem of dichui over here? You have a problem that it was pushed off from being a kosher korban, and now you're trying to make it kosher, and now there's no bringing it back, right? Okay. So the answer is loy tema zoko loy ela ema shochem. No, what you have to change is, again, you said the Mishnah had said that if a apostle does the Kabbalah with a thought of Chutzlus Manai or Chutzlus Mekayim, right, then it can be fixed up by a kosher doing Kabbalah afterwards, as long as there's still Dama Nefesh available. But when we said Kibloi, and we said that seemed to imply that only that works by Kabbalah, but not by Zrika, no, don't understand the influence that way. It means Kabbalah as opposed to Shechita. That if he were to shecht it with a machshava, that if he were to shecht it with a machshava of chutzlus manai or chutzlus mekayim, it would make it pigle.
As opposed to
if he did Kabbalah or Zrika, for that matter. So the Mishnah is not addressing Zrika, but if he did Kabbalah or anything afterwards with a machshava, then like Rava says, that wouldn't pass the word because he's not roi l'avoda.
So only shechita,
right? So that's the influence of the Mishnah. The Mishnah mentioned Kabbalah, not Kabbalah as opposed to Zrika, but Kabbalah as opposed to Shechita. The question is, my Kamash Mulam, the Apostle Machshava. So what does the Mishnah want to tell us? That this idea that a Zor or whoever shechts a korban is able to pass over Machshava, Tanena. We learn in a Mishnah to that effect. Since Shechita can be done by a Zor, therefore they're able to pass over with Machshava. So
Shechita
can be done by a kosher, therefore a kosher, therefore a by
a kosher.
What is the mission? Need to give it. What is the mission? Need to imply it when it says it flat out. The answer is Chokamash Mulam, the Kabbalah Eilat, the Kosher Machshava. No, what the Mishnah wants to inform us is it's true. It doesn't mean you need to tell us about Shechita. It's telling us not only Kabbalah, but Kabbalah or anything following it. A czar or any other apostle is not able to pass over them. My time is Kedirah. And the reason for that is because like Robert said, they're not roi l'avoda. And only a roi l'avoda is capable of passing it with a machshava.
So anything after
Shiva. So anything after any Kabbalah and onwards, Kabbalah, Halacha, the Zuka, then they have no part in it, therefore they can't topple it with Masha. That's the point of the Mishnah. So in other words, so we have like the Mishnah spells out for us that a Zohar can possible with Masha to do Shiva.
That's
the
second on
it. Right. The Shiva they can.
No, after Shiva.
Right. So therefore, so the Mishnah says Kabbalah, if they had a Masha, then it doesn't topple it. As long as there's Dama Nefesh available, a Kosher can do the Kabbalah and continue things. But and that applies not only to Kabbalah, but also to Halacha and also to Zika, that it's apostle. That one of those things, and because then there's a Kosher can redo it, that can do a new Kabbalah and start all over again and make it Kosher.
Because
his Makshava doesn't have any effect.
The apostle doesn't have any effect.
Right. So we'll leave off for now, and we'll continue tomorrow, that's the same, but the point is that we'll continue the discussion tomorrow, but so far the point is that just because the kosher, that returning to the matter of Zika, if the apostle, and again, when the person is the apostle, who means specifically a common, if he did Zika on the wrong part of the Mizeah, then we're saying that he wasn't able to pass the word
again because he's not, Roy has to do with Machshava.
But the point is, since he put it on the wrong part of the Zaya anyway, then therefore the Kosher was able to redo it and then put the blood on a different part of the Zaya and
is able to put the blood on a different part of the Zaya, on the proper part of the Zaya.
Because it didn't deal with Machshava.
Because we weren't dealing with Machshava, we were dealing with reaction for the war.